Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila. Chapter 1, text 59. It's actually a quote from Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 26, text 26. Tatodu sangamutsridja
satsu
sajjeta buddhiman
santa evasya
chindanti manovyas Manovya Sangam Uktibihi.
Manovya Sangam Uktibihi.
Translation. One should therefore avoid bad company and associate only with devotees. With their realized instruction, such saints can cut the knot connecting one with activities unfavorable to devotional service. Purport. This verse, which appears in Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava in the text known as the Uddhava Gita. The discussion relates to the story of Pururava and the heavenly courtesan Urvashi. Courtesan, do you all know what that means? It's a high-class word for a prostitute. Is it? Yeah. High-class prostitute. Is there such a thing? Well, it means prostitute for high-class people. When Urvashi left Pururava, he was deeply affected by the separation and had to learn to overcome his grief. It is indicated that to learn the transcendental science, it is imperative that one avoid the company of undesirable persons and always seek the company of saints and sages who are able to impart lessons of transcendental knowledge. The potent words of such realized souls penetrate the heart, thereby eradicating all misgivings accumulated through years of undesirable association. For a neophyte devotee, there are two kinds of persons whose association is undesirable. One, gross materialists who constantly engage in sense gratification. And two, unbelievers who do not serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead but serve their senses and their mental whims in terms of their speculative habits. Intelligent persons seeking transcendental realization should very scrupulously avoid their company. Hare Krishna. I was informed yesterday that this spitting on the side is not much appreciated, but the alternative is to spit and stick it in your pocket. In Indian culture, which Prabhupada followed, he used a spittoon. That way you don't contaminate your hand, which you'll then put on the shastra, etc. Sorry, but mucus is in general not very desirable. The Western system of sticking it away in your pocket is considered superior to the Indian system, but I'll follow the Indian system. Sorry if you're scandalized. Continuing, hope for the hopeless. Yes, it's continuing hope. If the hope doesn't continue, then again we become hopeless. So it's continuing hope. And hopeless, yeah, become hopeful by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why hopeless? The idea is that, or the discussion is that, we feel that even after so many years of performing devotional service, we don't seem to be going very far. Actually, some disciples, brahmacharis, disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, you can read this in this book if you get a copy. They approached him with a similar lament that we feel we've been performed. We joined with much hope, but after several years of being here, we feel we're not very hopeful. We see others also who we had great hope in disappoint us. So now we feel fully disappointed. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in typical, totally unpredictable style, said, "Very good. If you thought you'd been doing well, you'd have been in trouble." So he gave them assurance. Many times he said that if you stick to this path, you can go back to Godhead in this life. Prabhupada often said that also. If we're serious about this, we can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Why wait for another lifetime? Prabhupada quoted his own Guru Maharaj as saying this. Why wait for another lifetime? Go back home to Godhead in this lifetime. Antithesis to this statement is that, well, it doesn't seem like I'm going back to Godhead in this lifetime anyway, so I might as well make the most of what I'm doing here now. Might as well enjoy myself on the material platform. Not a very good idea. So we're feeling hopeless because, or feeling disappointed because of residual dirty things in the heart which seem very difficult to clean away. This verse, which I read today, which is also one of the more quoted verses of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Dusangam utsrija is stated here, to give up bad association. Those who are intelligent should give up bad association. So bad association is described in the purport as materialistic persons who engage in sense gratification. That includes, as I was saying yesterday, people who are superficially initiated into Vaishnavism, but who deliberately cultivate activities which are not favorable to advancement in devotional service. Who deliberately, TV, movies, etc., etc. These are obvious. Kami music. Cheating oneself. For a non-devotee to perform these activities is nonsense. Someone who's superficially initiated into Vaishnavism, I say superficially initiated because initiation is an ongoing process. If we don't follow the process, we may say we're initiated, but that's only we've broken the contract. So, we're not really initiated. So for persons with higher knowledge to do this is not only nonsense, but it's also offensive. One of the offenses to the holy name, to deliberately maintain material attachments, even having heard so many instructions in this regard. So we should give up bad association, but bad association, that doesn't just mean persons who are not in Krishna consciousness, or persons who are superficially in Krishna consciousness. But we also have to give up association with the Rakshasas in our mind. Don't be associates of Ravana. give him up. When Ravana jumps into our mind and says, "Here I am, let's enjoy together," then it's time to call Hanuman. Strong Hanuman, Brahmachari, who burns Lanka fearlessly. Manovya Sangam. This means the Srila Prabhupada is translated here, or maybe one of Prabhupada's editors, as opposing attachments. Mental, manaha means the mind. So the attachments of the mind. Here's a clue. How can these be cut? How can the ravanas of the mind, the mental ravanas, be cut? By the words of the sadhus. We should associate with sadhus. And sadhu is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defined as, I can't remember the words exactly, but one who stands with his sword upraised, ready to cut the neck of the sacrificial animal. Doesn't sound like a very saintly thing to do, does it? But this allegorical description of how he cuts our material attachments by his words. The sword is his words. So generally, people don't like this. As he went on to say, that materialistic people, they have a dual nature. They present themselves as being very sincere and well-intentioned, but they don't like to hear this kind of discussion. That's why... Yes, good idea. We often criticize persons like the Dalai Lama and Mother Teresa. Why criticize? I mean, they're good people. But they're worse. They're worse than others because they present themselves as being very saintly, but they're not saintly. They're simply making a show of saintliness. You cannot help anyone get free from birth and death or advance toward Krishna. In fact, their so-called saintliness is an obstacle in the saintliness, on the path of actual saintliness, because they present their meat-eating rejection of Krishna and as something saintly. But superficial people are very attracted to this. And they don't like to hear such discussions. They may become very upset at them, which simply reveals their own insincerity. So we are enjoined to associate with saintly persons, but there aren't that many people who like to associate with saintly persons. There aren't that many people, even in ISKCON, it seems to me, who like to associate with Srila Prabhupada. They say they like to, but they've redefined Prabhupada as some kind of vegetarian Dalai Lama. People like to see photos of him smiling, and they like to choose all the nice things he says. Whereas Srila Prabhupada pointed out about Krishna Leela, we'll find there's many more descriptions of Krishna killing the demons than dancing in Rasa Leela. but we prefer to hear Rasa-lila. But here it said that if we're intelligent, and we do have dusanga, we have bad association, mental, our mind tends to associate with that which is unfavorable for advancement in Krishna consciousness, then if we're intelligent, recognizing that we have that bad association, we should associate with sadhus who cut by their words the mental attachments. It's a painful process. We don't like it. We like to have the boils of the blown on. Srila Prabhupada gave this example in Rishikesh in July 1977. Every evening he was giving darshan. Rishikesh, for those of you who don't know, is one of the most impersonalistic, or one of the capitals of impersonalism. The other ones further down the Ganga in Varanasi. These two places are particularly the capitals of impersonalism in India. So Srila Prabhupada is preaching very strongly, even by Prabhupada's standards, because if you're in the capital of the impersonalists, you can be nice to them. That's one thing you can do, and treat them as sadhus. Many of them are sadhus in one sense, better than us in many senses, in terms of their culture and their austerities, and like they may be sadhus. I mean, not all sadhus in India are biri smoking. Some of them, there are real sadhus also. Or as Prabhupada pointed out about the biri smoking sadhus, even they don't go to the movies. Srila Prabhupada is speaking very strongly, and one lady who was present was saying, "Well, why are you speaking so strongly? Why don't you be more compassionate?" And Prabhupada said, your compassion is like blowing on boils. You have to, if you blow on a boil, who's had boils? Anyone had boils? Not that many. I had enough for all of you put together. So if you blow on it, there's some very slight relief. The pain goes on. But you have to cut it with a knife, which is very painful. But that begins the pain, and then you have to take out the pus within. So it's quite a painful process. And the pain continues after the cleaning, but then it's solved until the next one comes. Usually one is followed by another. So cutting is required. The doctor who cuts, that is his compassion. So we have to submit ourselves to that if we want to get free from the dusanga, the bad things in the mind. Of course, hearing from sadhus, that is a very powerful process. If we hear Srila Prabhupada constantly stressing, we're not the body, it's actually a very powerful message, because it changes the whole worldview of anyone who cares or dares to listen. We're not the body. We are servants. This again changes our worldview if we dare to listen. Otherwise our worldview is Ishvaraham Ahambhogi Siddhoham Balavan Suki. I am the center of the universe. I am God. I am the enjoyer. I'm perfect. I'm okay. Nothing wrong with me. Don't tell me what to do. I don't need to listen to you. I'm powerful, I'm happy, everything about me is good. No, you're a rascal. The sadhus, they will tell us, you're a rascal. You're a fool. You don't know what is in your own interest. So, if we submit ourselves to hear these words, we're not the body, we're eternal servants. This Krishna is the supreme controller. These few basic points that Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again in his preaching, mostly just a few points. We are control. We are not the controller. The supreme is personal. Just these few points. They are revolutionary. Then, getting down to the details of our material attachments. The Bhagavatam is a very powerful message. We see that even today in India, there are regularly there are arrangements for Bhagavat Saptaha, 1 week sessions of people listening to Bhagavatam, not like Parikshit Maharaj. It's usually 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, and tea break in between. And pious people arrange for free tea for everyone. Chai Seva. And like this, they listen. But it doesn't have the same effect as Shukadev speaking to Parikshit. Neither is the speaker like Shukadev, nor is the hearer like Parikshit. Parikshit is Saravrita. He's interested in the essence. But the modern day hearers, they're definitely not interested in the essence. They only want a superficial show for their entertainment. They don't like to hear verses like Nunang Pramatah Kurute Vikarma Yad Indriya Pritya Aprinoti Na Sadhumanye Yata Atmano Yam Asannapi Kleshada Asadeha, in which Rishabhdev says that persons are certainly insane who perform sinful activities simply for the sake of sense gratification. In this way, instead of utilizing the human form of life to prepare themselves for freedom from birth and death, they simply prepare another body in which to suffer on and on and on. So who comes to listen to verses like this? No one will listen. They like to hear Gopal, Gopal. They like that. But nice stories, nice pictures. This is bhakti. But they don't know what is bhakti. Their bhakti should... Bhakti is on the platform of Vairagya Vidya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshartha Meka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Buddha Yastamaham Prapadye. Yes, this Sava Bhattacharya says, I surrender to this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an ocean of mercy, who has taught the process of bhakti to himself based on renunciation and knowledge, not simply some sentiment. So we have to place ourselves in earshot of such discussions that will break our material attachments. Of course, we have to hear about Krishna. It's not that we don't hear about Gopal. We're not simply impersonalists who only want to hear about the miseries of the material world and to get free from them. But that is required. Otherwise, our mental impression of Gopal, if we don't know the difference between the material and the spiritual, then when we may think of Gopal, but that imagined Gopal will be simply a reconstruction or a construction of our material sense gratificatory ideas. So we have to hear the message of the spiritual world. We have to see the material world through the eyes of devotees. This will cleanse the heart. Of course, we know for cleansing the heart, the prime process Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, Chaito Dharpana Marajanam. Chanting in itself is cleansing. But that chanting, that won't bring us to the result unless it's free from offenses. Bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta na pai Krishna pade premadham. Love of Krishna is not attained if one is offenses. Niraparadhe naam loile pai premadham. If we chant without offenses, then we attain the wealth of love of Krishna. So if we examine the offenses against the holy name, they're mostly based on tattva brahm, or misunderstandings regarding the philosophical position of Krishna and everything else in relation to Krishna. That the 10 offenses are to criticize devotees. We'll do so if we think that they're ordinary persons. So we have to hear from Bhagavatam what is the position of devotees. If we think that Krishna is just another god, there are so many gods, that's also a misunderstanding. We have to hear from Gita and Bhagavatam to overcome this misunderstanding. So like this, all the most of the offenses, they're all based upon not understanding what is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, although kirtan is the prime method for purification, we should know that kirtan is not complete without shravan. Shravan comes first, actually. We always say shravanam kirtanam. So kirtan must be accompanied by shravan, otherwise we're chanting the name of Krishna, but we don't know who Krishna is or how to properly approach him. Therefore, our chanting cannot be full and complete. So just as Krishna, really to understand Krishna means Radha Krishna. Radha is the Swarup Shakti or the potency which makes Krishna complete. So in the same way, Shravan is the Swarup Shakti of Kirtan. Without Kirtan, there cannot be without Shravan, there cannot be full and complete Kirtan. So as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has recommended, a Gaura Bihita Kirtan, or Kirtan which is introduced by, approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there also has to be, in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's language, there also has to be Gaura Bihita Shravan. We also have to hear in the proper way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is famous for chanting and dancing, but he also sat for 10 days at Prayag, instructing Rupa Goswami for writing books, and for 1 month in Varanasi, instructing Sanatana Goswami on books to write, and specifically instructed Rupa and Sanatana to compose books to enunciate the science of devotional service. So we have to chant. This is the cleansing process, hearing and chanting. chant in the association of devotees, chant for the pleasure of Krishna. But then again, we come to the same point that we're talking about, that we seem, it seems a hopeless situation. Duradaivam idrisham ihajani nanuraga. We're chanting, but we don't have taste. We don't have taste for the pure name of Krishna. So, what happened? Why don't we have taste? Well, we may have taste. Sometimes we see people have taste, but it's taste more for musical performance. We see some devotees are musically adept, and their taste comes from music. That's why we're having some discussion on the what's called that? Accordions. Should they be in kirtan? Prabhupada, in his letters, he wasn't much, well, he was said only kartals and mridanga, because he said otherwise we'll become too much diverted by the music and not concentrate on the holy name. So that is a danger, that sometimes you become more attracted by the music than the calling out to Krishna. I'm fallen in this material world, please pick me up. Ainanda tanaja kingarang patitang mang vishame bhavam buddho kripaya tapapada pankaja stitadhuli sadrisham vichintaya. This is chanting with this attitude. And enjoying the music is something completely different. So we see some kirtaniyas, they're very enthusiastic for kirtan as long as they're leading it. If they're not leading it, they're not interested. So that's, where's the taste? We also see some kirtaniyas, they're very enthusiastic for kirtan, but not for japa. They have no taste for it. And then what is it? It's a musical performance. So that's, it may appear that they have taste for the holy name, but it might be concluded that rather they have taste for their own voice, hearing their own voice. So that's a danger. So, of course, we should sing nicely for Krishna. And music is there. It's singing and instruments means there's music, so it should be nicely for Krishna. Well, that's the point, nicely for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. So we find we don't have taste, we're afflicted by material desires. Why is that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed what are the reasons for this, and he states as the first of them that which I was saying, tattva brahm, that one is not properly understanding what is Krishna consciousness. One has misconceptions about Krishna consciousness. Actually, I made a printout, so. Yeah, the different misconceptions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very scientifically analyzes all these different points. So, what is our misfortune? Durdaiva. Why do we not have taste for the holy name? So, misunderstandings, philosophical, illusion about our identity, failing to recognize that we are servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. Illusion about the Supreme Lord, failing to recognize Krishna's supremacy. Illusion about sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti. And illusion about subjects unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. Now this is, this illusion about subjects unfavorable to Krishna consciousness, we better get this very clear, because it can be that we become diverted. In the name of Krishna consciousness, we can often get diverted from Krishna consciousness. Just like, for instance, In the last few years, there have been various indirect methods of bringing people to Krishna consciousness, which have been recommended. So, theoretically, it's maybe not a bad idea. For instance, to perform what people call yoga, has actually got nothing to do with actual yoga, but some exercises. So we perform the exercises, and then we do that, and then all of a sudden we tell them, chant Hare Krishna. That's the idea. And that's supposed to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And it may do. There may be some way to gradually bring people into that. But if, as a result, we ourselves become more bodily conscious, which yoga exercises, if one becomes attached to that, there is the danger. Well, there's already, if you're attached to it, then we're already in an unfavorable position. Or there may be the illusion of thinking that we require some indirect processes. We cannot simply speak the message of Bhagavad Gita to people. And gradually the misconception may arise that for preaching we require to do so many other things except speaking the message of Bhagavad Gita, which is actually the only thing we really need to do. And everything else is superfluous to this. And there may also come the misconception that we require to perform yoga so we can have a healthy body to perform Krishna conscious activities, which is not a fact. It might be helpful, I'm not saying that one shouldn't do it, but we may overly stress the role of yoga, for instance, and there may be so many things we can do to improve the mind and the body, but there are so many things, if you do them all, you don't have any time to chant Hare Krishna. There are so many, you can get some gems, which maybe do something or other, apart from make the seller richer and yourself poorer. Some people say that, but there's pyramids you can put here and there, and some things which are called yantras, which are supposed to improve something or other. I'm not exactly sure what. I never bothered to inquire. And there's so many things you can do. And you can get, you know, go to your astrologer and get something worked out. And all these different things, which are all supposed to make life better in so many ways. But after all, you have to die, and however fit you are, however healthy your body is, you have to die. And before that, churnamyatete nambat napatet anumritya yavan nishoyasaya. Before dying, we should perform that activity which will stop us getting born again, which is Krishna consciousness. So there may be many things which we can do to keep the body healthy and the mind healthy and this and that, but we should always remember that these are of no ultimate value. The only thing of any real value is Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So we may, there's a tendency to become bewildered about this, to overly stress the value of subsidiary activities, which may include also austerities, study of Shastra. If we take study of Shastra to be an end in itself, now I've got my Bhakti Shastri degree. I'm studying so I can get my Bhakti Shastri degree or Bhakti Vaibhav degree. If we take, why am I studying? To get a degree so I can say I'm a Bhakti Shastri. No, that's not the rest. That's not the, at the time of death, you can wave a paper. I'm Bhakti Shastriji. It's not going to help us. And in the time of living, it doesn't help us either. We're studying so that we can understand who we are, who is Krishna, what is our relationship with Krishna, how to act in that relationship. And getting this certificate is of no real value. That we, if we think that we're doing it so that we can pass and then we'll be recognized as a bhakti shastri and we'll feel good about it, then we didn't understand one single word of anything that we studied. So these are all examples of tattva brahm, or philosophical misunderstandings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has listed four varieties, but there's unlimited. And there's always more and more and more coming, because Maya provides lots of material for creating various mental combinations and permutations of wonderful ideas by which we can forget Krishna. Then Durdaiva, our misfortune, another cause and symptom of this is aparad, offenses. There are so many. Nam aparad, seva aparad. Seva aparad means especially in deity worship. Vaishnava aparad, jiva aparad. We can perform offenses. Even devotees can make offenses to non-devotees. That's also possible. And mistreating animals, or even unnecessary behaving badly toward others. Telling them that they're in Maya, that's not an aparad, but unnecessarily treating them harshly can be. Asat Trishna, this thirst for the material, or a strong desire for things which are, the mundane, for sense gratification. Hriday Darabalyam, weakness of heart. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That saying is ascribed to Lord Jesus Christ. Weakness of heart. We know, yes, I want to do this, but we just don't feel any strength. This due to weakness, we may engage in deceit, fault finding, we may have envy, desire for fame, attachment to objects not related to Krishna. So, what to do? How to get out of this syndrome? Well, various things have been suggested. As I said, there's at the beginning of this seminar, that it's nothing new that you're hearing. They're all things which we've all heard and discussed before. But the active principle is the mercy of the Lord, which is received through his devotees. Now, that's again misused by pseudo-devotees who say they just come and ask for mercy. But they're not very serious about getting what is actually mercy. Are we actually ready to receive the mercy of the Lord? It's a very heavy mercy. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishetad dhanang shanai. The symptom of Krishna's mercy is he takes away everything from us. Are we ready for that? All our material attachments. People come and ask for blessings. Bless you that all your material plans may be completely frustrated and you'll become totally bereft of any material enjoyment. So you have no choice but to surrender to Krishna. Are we actually ready for that? It's Krishna's mercy, its outward manifestation appears to be very harsh. When people start to become recipients of Krishna's mercy, usually their friends, relatives, and everyone else protest. Why are you spoiling their life? So, are we ready actually for Krishna's mercy? Do we want it? Otherwise, it's like the story of the devotee who became a bug. It's a bit of a long story to tell now. He didn't want the guru was coming. He said, come with me, come to Vrindavan. No. I have my family responsibility, this responsibility, that responsibility. I'll come next year. And each year we'll go on like this till he died, and then he became a dog and a snake and so many different things. And eventually ended up as a bug. Say, no, I'm happy here eating the stool. It's all prasad stool. See, it's all Krishna consciousness.
So then the
guru picked up that bug and put him in a bottle and brought him to Vrindavan and drowned him in the Yamuna. Eventually got the mercy. So it's like that. We make so many excuses to avoid Krishna consciousness.
But
ultimately, we are dependent on the mercy of the Lord and His devotees. Ekaki ama nahi pai bol hari nama shankirtane tumi kripa kori shodha bindu dia deho Krishna namadhame. This prayer is there. Alone, I have no strength to perform harina. So you be merciful to me, Vaishnava. Give me the faith by which give me shraddha, give me a drop of faith, give me the wealth of Krishna
now.
So there are many kirtans which have been composed by our acharyas which express a situation like this. I'm trying to be Krishna conscious, I don't seem to be going anywhere. Now I'm simply praying for your mercy. Even though I have no qualification, I'm still simply calling out for your mercy. There are many such songs, and we can sing one of them now. Oh, well, I'll recite one, and then we'll can pass these out. While these are being passed out, I'll just take with your right hand, please. Thank you. I'll read one song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is from Sharanagati, from his collection of songs called Sharanagati. It's a very important series of instructions. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Hari hey, O my Lord, Hari, Proponche Poriya, Agati Hoya, Nadeki Upai Ar, Agatir Gati, Charane Sharam, Tomai Karinu Sha. He says that, having fallen into this material world without any direction, being hopeless and helpless, I don't see any means of uplift. This is what we're talking about, right, in this seminar. But you are Agatir Gati. You are the hope for the hopeless. We can translate that as. So, I've taken shelter at your lotus feet, making you the essence of my life. Karama gyan kichu nahimo sadhana bhajana nai. I have no activities of devotional service, no knowledge, nothing. I have no sadhana or bhajan. I'm completely useless, in other words, he's saying. Tumi kripamoy amito kangal ahaituki kripa chai. But you are, huh? No, no, you've received the right one. I'm reading another one. And I'll sing that afterwards.
Okay.
I was going to sing a whole many songs, but there's not enough time, so I'll just sing one. But I'll give the gist of this one also, which is what I'm doing. Tumi Kripa Moy, you are full of mercy. Amito Kangal, I am poor, wretched. Ahoituki Kripachai, I desire your causeless mercy. A causeless mercy in this sense means that the sense given is that there's no particular reason to give me mercy. I don't deserve it in any way. I'm not at all a fit person for receiving anything auspicious, but anyway I'm asking. So please give me your mercy. Bakamano big. Krodha jiba big. Udara upasta big. This is based on the first verse. What? Upadeshamrita. Milia eshab shangshare bhashaye diteche paramodbeg. So these various pushings of speech, of the mind, of anger, of the tongue, of the belly and the genitals, all together. Yeah, here's nicely translated. Cast me adrift on the sea of this material world, thus causing me grievous trouble. Aneka jatane sheshaba domane chariachi asha ami. So, after much endeavor to control these all, I've given up hope. It's just the subject that we're talking about here. Anate anat daki tavanam ekona bharashatumi. So the Lord of the orphans, or those who have no master, of those who have no master, anate anat daki tavanam, I'm calling out your name, ekona bharashatumi. Now you are my only hope. So that's the point that I was saying at the beginning. Keep your hand in your bead bag. Keep on calling it. We have to keep on calling out. And keep association with devotees, hearing about Krishna. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're actually chanting Hare Krishna, not just reciting some words. Hearing about Krishna, then we remember, oh, this is that Krishna who we have to call out to. So that's a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then Narottam Das song, which you're all got the printout of, I hope. Ki rupe paibo seva mui duracha. Narottam Das says, how will I attain seva? He means service to Radha, Krishna and all the devotees. Mui duracha, I am most sinful and misbehaved. Shri Guru Vaishnave Rati na hoilo ama. And I never had any taste. It never happened. It never came about that I had taste or attachment for Guru and Vaishnavas. Ashesha mayate mona mogna hoilo. This, my mind is absorbed unlimitedly in Maya. Vaishnavete lesha matra roti na jangala. And even a slight attachment to the Vaishnavas, it never happened with me, never took place. Of course, Narottam Das is saying this, the greatest Vaishnava. Bishoye bhulia onda hoinu dibanishi. Absorbed in sense gratification, I've forgotten who I am, and I'm blind. I become blind day and night. Gole fansha dite fere maya she pishachi. And Maya, who is compared here to a horrible witch, has put a noose around my neck and is leading me around here and there. Maya re koriya jai charano na jai. This is again the point. In the we attempt to conquer Maya, but she doesn't give us up. It's again that same situation. We're trying, but we're not getting anywhere. Maya te koriya jai charan na jai. That should be pronounced charan, not charano. She doesn't. We're trying to get rid of Maya, but she's not getting rid of us. She's not throwing us away. She doesn't let us go. Then what to do? What should we do? What is our hope? Shadu kripa bina a nahik upai. Without the mercy of devotees, there's no hope. So this is the hope. Sometimes that's written. Guru sadhu kripa a nahi kupai. Adosha darashi prabhu patita udha eba narotame karaha nishta. So, praying to the Vaishnavas and to the Supreme Lord as adosha darashi. One who doesn't see the faults. Without seeing my faults, you who are the uplifter of the fallen, this time, Narottam says, please deliver me. So it's a very intense song. To actually sing this, well, it requires an intense mood. It's not a pop song. It's not an entertainment song. This song can actually be, all these songs can actually be sung with true feeling. So we may not have that feeling, but Narottam Das Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they've composed these songs to help us attain the mood by which we can attract the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, which, as they describe, is really our only hope for deliverance. We're talking about making our own determination to be serious. Yes, we should be serious. We should follow carefully. But all that must be there. But over and above that, we require the mercy of the devotees. So this, when people just come and ask for mercy, people come and ask, give me mercy, give me blessings. Usually I don't like it when they come. Usually it's like, you know, you give me the mercy. Well, you be serious. First you be serious. Then come and ask for the mercy. Not that I'll be a nonsense number one and you just give me your mercy. That's not appreciated. Ki rupe paibo shiva Mui duracha ki rupe paibo Shri Guru Vaishnave rati na hoilo ama Na hoilo ama Ashesha maya te Manmagna hoilo Ashesha maya te man Magana hoilo Vaishnava te lesh matro Purati na janela. Vishaye bhuliya andha hoinu dibanishi. Kale fanja dite fire maya se pishati. Maya re kariya jai charan na jai. Sadhu kripa bina anahika upai. Adosha darashi prabho patita udha. Eba narotame karaha nishta. Ebanarotame karahanishta. Ki rupe paibo shiva mui duracha. Shri Guru Vaishnava Rati na hoilo ama.
Hare Krishna. That is the end of this seminar. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Life will go on in the material world, and we pray to Guru Hari Guru Vaishnav that we will not go on in this material world. Question? I don't think there's time. Is there time for? There's another seminar coming up. It's supposed to begin at 10:50. So only one question. Better be a good one. Please return. Someone can collect them.
Lord Chaitanya said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the person who once pronounces the name of Krishna should be considered a devotee. And we who do not have the taste for chanting the holy names, how can we acquire that taste for chanting the holy names of Krishna? And can you give us some living example, because it's been 500 years since the time of Haridas Thakur and Raghunath Das Goswami.
How we get a taste? Go on chanting.
Go on hearing and chanting.
It's practically the subject of this whole seminar. Examples? Indrajyamna Swami, Krishna Kripa Prabhu. There are many less known devotees. If there are no examples whatsoever, then we're lost. There are many in the world today, devotees who go on chanting. Hare Krishna. I'm not going to speak at this at length.